been identified so much so with the body, which is changing every moment of life, that we have forgotten it. Although this machine works on account of us. So Master, please know the self. How to know ourselves comes next. Generally we know at the level of feelings and drawing influences. They are both subject to error. Seeing is above all. So I have put off, can put off my coat, this is my coat, this is my watch, I can put it off. I put it off my boots. But we say it is my mind, my intellect, my body, my outward man. Can you put off? The Master tells us how to rise above these outward faculties and body. They not only tell the how, but gives us a demonstration of that. So the outward expression of the soul is attention, called attention. So attention is withdrawn when it is withdrawn from all outside and also from the body below. The soul seated at the back of the eyes. When we come to there, we succeed in coming out there, we find this factory being run by us. He is the master of this factory of the body. Guru Ram Das tells us, praise at one place, O God, give me such a guru, such a master, who will enable me to control all my outgoing faculties. Who is a touchstone, you see, there is a certain proverbial, some stone when it touches all metals, they turn the metals into gold. He prays, let us meet with such a master, who is like that, by touching which man becomes gold. Then he said, my prayer was succeeded, and God gave me a guru, who only not made me gold, but made with that very stone itself. Now those who come in contact with me, they are all turned into gold. Then he said, what did you get? He said, I am the master of my man body now, of the factory of the man body. I have given 10 servants to work under me. And who are they? Eye and sight, ear and audition, tongue and taste, you see, nose and smell, and body and head. So he says, now 10 servants at my beck and call. Now they don't drag me. I have come above them. I have risen above them. Now they are at my beck and call. This is the first success. A man who sits at the feet of the master and follows what he says, actually. He gave the demonstration of that the very first day. Maybe little or more. How to rise above body. So only 5 Descartes, you know, lust, anger, taste, and all that all the assail attack the man concerned attacks us from these outgoing faculties. Lust attacks us through the eyes. Anger attacks us through the ears. When you're angry at somebody, the word, the more dear, the more boost you get, the more angry. So they are centers, you see. Attachment grows more when you embrace somebody. So these centers you rise above. This is the first demonstration given by a saint to rise above body consciousness. We are at the back. All these outgoing faculties remain below. Eyes, ears, everything. And there they give you something more tasteful, more blissful, more enchanting. The bliss of which when the mind gets, He forgets all outer enjoyments. So man body, I told you, God also resides in this very man body, and we also reside in this body. Master says, yes, we have seen God. Guru Nanak went to Persia. There, Qazi Rukundin, a saint over there, he asked Guru Nanak, have you seen the house of God? He said, yes, I've seen. Then he demonstrated this man body. There are vessels, 1, 2, 3, 3, 6, and 12 vessels. There are 52 minarets, 32 teeth, and 20 nails. There are 2 windows in the house. These are the windows. Above that, God calls us, come back, my children, to your home. So he described this very mad body. The mad body is the temple of God. Can we see also? Yes. He says, you can see this very mad body, which you now consider only a store of filth, orange, blood, or intestines. It is the man body, the true temple of God, in which you reside, and we reside too. God resides where? God doesn't, all scriptures tell us, God doesn't reside in temples made with stones. I gave a talk that in London once, not in last tour. One bishop rose up, you have thrown atom among all our Christianity. What he means? Out of churches, temples, mosques are made by man. Out of the murder of man body. And this man body is made by whom? By the hands of God in the womb of the mother. So God resides in the house which he has made. And that is this which you live. So with the grace of a master, whose inner eye is open to see that it is the temple of God, we ask him, how do you say it is temple of God? And we do not say. These are but natural questions arise up. He says, God is within you. This man body is the true temple of God. Only reason is why you can't see is that mind stands between you and God in the body. You know, as I told you just a minute before, that our souls are under the control of mind. Mind is under the control of outgoing faculties. Outgoing faculties are drawn like dragged energy by the outer environment. So we are identified with this man body and outer thing so much that we have forgotten ourselves. So if first thing will be, how to control the mind. So Master sometimes tell us in a joking way, there's a man praying to God. Oh God, I'm very thankful to you, grateful to you, that my heart has been taken away last night by the thieves. He was thanking God. And where we in his place, what we would have done. People ask him, what is there to thank God that your heart has taken? I am thanking God only for the reason that I was not riding on the horse, otherwise I would also be taken away. I think he was very wise. He saved the rider and let the horse go, and what we have done, can you consider for a while? By discrimination. This is the horse we are riding. We are controlling it, and the we do not know about the rider. We are ourselves are. So Master tell us now there should be something to do, how to control the mind. First thing is, mind must be given something more blissful, more enchanting, more beautiful. The outer enjoyments had by the mind can be divided into 2 parts. 1, good scenery, good beauty, and then good music. all these animals get boiled down to that. So God has given us the same privilege within us, which is more enchanting, more music, and more bliss. And that is God into expression power when it came into being outside. There was vibration and there were two aspects of light and sound. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. By coming in contact now you see thousands of lights rising together, suns rising together. So coming in contact with the word or nama shabda or kalma gives you light, beautiful sense. All glory and beauty lies within you. And also it's the music of the spheres. More enchanting, more blissful. So, that when the mind tastes, has a taste of that, that is more blissful, more enchanting, naturally outer enjoyment release. So mind would not leave that outer thing unless you have given something higher than that. If there is a child, mother gives him some what? Small thing to play on. He goes on. Then that is thrown out. He cries. Mother comes up. Then gives him something else to engage him. Again, he leaves them. Again, mother, he cries. Mother comes up. And gives some sweet. He keeps quiet. Again, he cries. Then master comes and embraces him. So mind, I tell you, every day it wants more and more. It cannot be satisfied outwardly. What you get the bliss of joy today, you cannot get more. You go on, do it again and again and again and again. That very blissful things become quite contrary. Once it is said, you think they are the ways of the master's teaching. Christ also said like that. Sometimes master gives direct talk, sometimes by parables. He gave out that once this wheat went to Lord Vishnu and complained people eat me very cruelly, too much. What should I do? And the Lord Vishnu told him, those who eat too much, you may eat them up. There's a lesson in that. Those who eat more than what is digestion, that is, that turns into diseases that eat you. So, if these very things, we are now those who begin to eat more and more, time comes when he is not able to digest anything. Any enjoyment that you have got outside, if you enjoy more than normal, then you are become, what you say, unable to enjoy those. This experience shows. So masters tell us, give us that contact of the higher within you by giving a demonstration of it. So now as it is, we are now quite under the grand delusion. World is changing, body is changing, we are identified with it. We think it's all stationary. Grand delusion we are in. And the only way to be out of it is to rise above it, to be out of it. And that is by knowing oneself. Kavanana vinapachini mitenam ramkikai. So all masters said like that. Amongst the Hindus, there is a custom that 5 years, 7 years, 9 years old children are made twice born. And they were given Gayatri Mantra. Well, some of you might know about it. Gayatri Mantra is a prayer to God. O God, let us rise above body consciousness. Let us accept those rays of the sun coming to us and be identified with the sun within us. O God, turn our souls toward you. This is a prayer. In the old days, Rishi used to give them a demonstration of opening the inner eye to see the light of God. to the small children. So when that eye is open, you see, the master gave us an experience how to open that eye. So Guru Nanak was asked, really, have you seen God? He said, He's apparent everywhere. With what eyes you see? He said, those eyes are different, not the flesh and bones which that can be seen. That is an eye with you all. That is called third eye, single eye, Shivnetra, Anuktaswara and the Mohammedans. With that, if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. How that single eye opens? That is open when your attention is drawn from all outside. You've seen a dying man, you see? When he's dead, he's just in touch with this man body as it is. The attention is withdrawn from outside to the dying man, you see, he does not recognize anybody who comes to him because the attention is withdrawn from outside. Then that is withdrawn from the body to the seat of the soul in the man body, which is at the back of the eye. Eyes are upturned. So attention all drawn by outside, also from the outgoing faculty, not even up to here. No, you may call it remote here. So this is the process. Saint Prabhupada tells us, those who are initiated in the mysteries of the beyond, they have got the same experience of God, I mean, death, leaving the body, as it has at the time of death. So Master tells us, learn to die so that you may begin to live. To die while alive is something else. To die finally is something else. There is a ceremony called based according to the reactions of the past, they are numbered. Thy days are numbered. Thy breaths are numbered. So when you rise above the body consciousness, come to the seat of soul in the body, that self got broken in the actual death. You cannot return. But while alive, that silver cord is not broken. So there's no fear that you will return. How do we draw? That eye opens when, as I told you, when our attention is withdrawn from all outside and from the body below, come to the seat of the soul at the back of the eyes, and the eyes open. So Kavir tells us, well, oh, this native bird, does it to man like that, you see? Why are you forgotten your home? This is not your home. This is only golden opportunity given to you, but you are under grand delusion. You have forgotten yourself. What to speak of God, or what to speak of your true home? Wake up. Love God, he says. And he tells us, dear friend, how can we love God? We love the world, of course, because we see the world. God is love. Our soul is of being of the same essence as that of God. It has in it love in itself. And the qualification of love is it wants to be attached to somebody. Soul's love was to be developed to contact all soul, over soul, God, which is stationary, permanent, eternal. When you are attached there, there is no fear of death, no fear of separation. When you are attached to the outside things, they sometimes, you see, they are temporary. You leave your body, other things also outside are temporary, not permanent. Sometimes you get happiness, sometimes you feel, by separation, feel very much unhappy. So they give us a demonstration of that. And say, those who want to permanent joy, all hope, all glory. And eternal life, they should contact with God within you and liberating all creation. So Master say, first thing, learn to leave your body daily. Take off daily. Saint Paul said, I die daily. Is there what there? Take off daily if you taking off. So this is the first thing, how to come up, but how to take off daily, how to die daily. This is demonstration of that given by some competent adept of the way, or a spiritual saint, you might say. We want such like man who can weigh up, give us a boost, to rise above body consciousness, give us a demonstration of that. So I told you just now amongst the Hindus about the twice bound custom they have got, that is also one burst in this man, but the other burst into the beyond. Guru Nanak was asked by the Siddha, when you are reborn, he said, I am born at the feet of my Guru. Guru ke janme kam matayo. You once rise above body consciousness and enjoy that higher bliss, there is nothing to drag you back to the world. You get more bliss there, you see. And these very things are given out by others too. Smaller rooms tell us this world is a prison house and we are prisoners. A big prison house and we are further prisoners in the back body. He say, what to do? He can break the roof of the prison and go up. This is the way of explanation of things, you see. The world, all world over is prison house and small prisons. We are further in this man body. So the only way to rise above body consciousness. This is what Christ also gave out, you see. So I am quoting all these things on you by reference to give you some information that our scriptures give all that. Who can give us demonstration of that is a true guru, is a true saint. When Christ gave out, except you be born anew, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Nicodemus was a very learned advocate over there. He came up, Master, we are old men. You see, how can we enter the womb of your mother and be reborn? And he told him, look here, you are a very learned man. People respect you like anything, but don't you know that spirit is born of the spirit and flesh of the flesh? I said, you must be reborn. Emphatically give it. So reborn means arising into the beyond. The life after death as certain, as sure as 2 and 2 make 4. I come up here from India. Am I no one? I'm not in India, of course. I'm here alive. So masters tell us, this is the very most important, very personal question you have before you, in which nobody can help you. It's the Master only who can give you the demonstration of it, and you live by it as He directs you. You rise from the body 100 times when He can give it. Who knows this, where the sting of death is left? And we are all afraid when you hear the name of death, isn't it? First reason is that we do not know how to leave the body. The other thing, we do not know where to go after that. What is our fate after that? For these two reasons, we are afraid of death. Everybody wants to live here 2 hours more. So how to leave the body, I have just explained you. Withdraw your attention from outside and from the body below, come to the seat of the soul, the body at the back of the eyes, your eyes open into the beyond. If you come up daily like that, as demonstrated by the Master, then you have no fear that. You have all fear. Kabir says, I am very happy when I hear the name of death. Why? Because this world of sorrow will be over. And I'll join my Lord forever. You feel joy. So everybody wants freedom, I tell you. Even the students in the school, they say, today is holiday, they feel joy. Freedom. So we all want freedom from the body and the environment, you see. The demonstration of it can be given by his competent on the way. They are called saints, they are called Mahatmas in two sense of the world. The world is full of teachers, I tell you, full of teachers. We are respectful to them for whatever we have learnt at their feet. But we need some such like teacher who can give us a boost to rise into the beyond. And give us a contact with the God into special power which is within us. The nectar. The water of life. Which is the bread of life. All masters have been referring to these things, the same words, in their own language, of course. Christ did say like that. A Samaritan lady was going with a pitcher full of water over her head. Christ wanted water out of inferiority complex. She did not give it because she's a high family. How can anyone have water for me? And he said, had she given this water, this would have satisfied thirst for a while. Again there would have been thirst gone. Had she come to me, I would have given her water of life. By having which she would have all thirst for all life satisfied. That's the water life. That is called in Mamdabe Ayat. Which is called by the big guru as the nectar, amrat, amar jivandana. So all masters are referring to that. That is within you. God says, I am treasure hidden in you. Why don't you come up and dig it up? So say, Guru Nanak says, you see, the treasure of divinity lies within you if you but listen to the one word of the Master. You know how fortunate you are to have man body. Only that needs somebody who can give you contact with it. That's all. And who can give you contact with it? It's not you, any son of man can do it. It is God alone who can give you contact with God, with him, who resides in every heart and where he is manifested. God resides in every heart, but he is manifest here, there, somewhere, for the guidance of child humanity. So if you are really hankering for, yearning for meeting God, God desires you. He sees my child is crying to meet me. What does he do? He just brings him in contact with somewhere where God is manifest. He is manifest. A blind man cannot catch any man with the eyes. So it is God who makes arrangement to bring him in contact with somewhere where God is manifest. He, God desires in him too, but not manifest. Self, only thing is that his attention is identified with the world outside. He gives him a demonstration how to be directed from outside and rise above body consciousness, where to find the God into expression controlling him. In the form of light itself. So this is comes only with the grace of the Master, God first. It is God alone who can give you contact with him. So you cannot enter this man's body. So the man has got a house vacant, he has locked it up and gave the key of the house to the agent. Can you enter that house? You must have the permission of the owner of the house. Then you directly, you somewhere, with whom the key lies, and he'll open the door and you can get in. So this man body is made by whom? By God, you see. He has lapped it up and given tea to the saint, to the... Now he gives you contact with that. He opens the door, you get it. Otherwise, God is within us. The treasure divinity is within us. All glory and beauty lies in us. We are only identified with the world outside. Those who here who are fed up with this world is unhappy, you see, are called king panorama of life. Oh, when your yearning field within you, God makes arrange to bring you in contact with somewhere where you can be put on the way, given a boost to rise into a body consciousness and be reborn. So when Master comes, they have the same teaching for all mankind alive. This inner way. Master comes only to take you back home. God sends them. My children are unhappy. Those who are fed up, let them come to me. You bring them back. So all Master say like that, I come from the Father, Father has sent me. Tenth Guru says, I am sent by God. Guru Nanak says, I speak all as I am inspired by God. I cannot utter any other word than what He inspires. You follow me now? Where is time? The Master comes for all the world over. We are not the monopoly of any sect, any country. When sun rises, do you think it belongs to the east or the west? It rises for all. So they bring the same old, ancient wisdom that God is within you. You are fortunate to have the man body. Make the best use of it. Outer enjoyments won't last more. After all, you will have to leave the body. Would it not be wise enough to begin to leave the body just now? Slowly, so that you may not be dragged all in. A silken cloth is spread over a shrub which is very thorny. If you drag it on, that will talk. If you barely rise to just take it off from the thorn, it might take an hour today, 2 hours, then 1 hour. By practice, you may take it off in 5 minutes and 2 minutes.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Satsang from Master Kripal Singh. The recording you just heard was from Liverpool, England, September 16, 1972. So today our reader is David Halliburton. Are you there, David?
Yes, I am, John.
Okay, carry on.
The talk that I'll be reading from this morning is called Have Grace on Your Own Self. And it was given by our Master Kripal Singh after giving initiation at Santa Barbara, California on December 2nd, 1963. And they were published originally in the April 76 issue of Satsandesh. We are all here for the same cause of the Master. We have been put on the way that is the path divine, and that is the most natural. Even a child can follow it and derive benefit from it. Each one of you has been initiated, and you have had some inner experience to start with. But that alone won't do. A satsangi cannot become a satsangi in one day, I tell you. You have been put on the way to be a satsangi. A satsangi means one who is in constant contact with God. You have been put on the way, that you have to develop so much that you always live in awareness as a conscious co-worker of the divine plan. For that, a time factor is necessary. Rome was not built in a day. When a man is initiated, it is not the end all. It is just the commencement. We should develop further with due regard to our everyday life. Truth is above all, but true living is still above truth. The way we mete out our lives to others. When we are all children of God, then we are all brothers and sisters in God. All masters teach us to love God and to love all His creatures whether they are neighbors or animals. So, love is the way back to God. And love knows what? Unity, not duality. Love is a power that unifies, not divides into parties. We are all here, as I told you, for the same common cause we have before us. We must work shoulder to shoulder. To work shoulder to shoulder, one thing is required. Have appreciation for everyone and for what he does. If anyone is doing something on the way, we should appreciate it. And appreciation comes only when you have love. Even if you think you are doing more and the other is doing less, still you can't appreciate that he is doing something on the way. So, first of all, we should learn to appreciate what one another is doing. If you want to be more on the way or to progress more quickly, then if anyone is doing more, you should also do more. There should be no competition. If one man is working and another helps him, if two men are working in the same way, two halves together make a lemon. For the sake of appreciation, if one man thinks his is the better way, and the other thinks his is the better way, then they must privately come to some conclusion together to know what to do. The regular satsangs, the group meetings, should not take the form of discussions. The satsangs should not be debating clubs. They should deal only with either meditation, or about God, or God in men, or the science of the word, or nam. What things help us on the way? What things stand in the way? Only this should form the subject of the satsang. No other subject. This is what is called spirituality. Spirituality means who you are, what you are, what your connection is with the man body you are carrying, what your connection is with all the world around you, and what your connection is with the over-self, God. Pure and simple, this is what is called spirituality. For that purpose, you have been initiated and given a contact with the light and sound principle of word, or God into expression power. Go on with it. Spirituality means only that, and that should form the subject of all satsangs. Those who are going to talk should come prepared for a particular talk they have to give. They should not speak offhand. A man speaking offhand can sometimes make many mistakes, and the people who are attending sometimes take their misconceptions. We have not yet become masters. Whatever masters speak is the truth, because they see. We who are on the way should come prepared. That will make us perfect in due course of time. And let no other subject than spirituality be discussed in the satsangs. There are other subjects. With due deference to them, let them go. There is education. There is spiritism and the like, mesmerism or hypnotism or spiritualism. These are side issues. With due deference to them all, they should have formed separate subjects of separate meetings. In the satsang, there should be spirituality, pure and simple. Those who want to speak should speak on this subject only. We are mostly concerned with that. That is the way back to God, with due deference to other branches of the subject. But one thing must be there. We should learn to appreciate each other. Appreciation will bring with it more cooperation. One person says, that is wrong. And the other says, no, that is wrong. Well, there is nothing wrong. In their own way, they are right, you see. But what we are concerned with in the satsang is pure spirituality. So, you are here. I wish you all to be regular in attending the group meetings. help each other. Help each other. Love each other. Appreciate each other. We are all on the way. But as I told you in the satsangs, spirituality pure and simple is to be discussed. There are other subjects with due deference to them. Let them form the topic of separate meetings. For the time being, you have 1 hour. Some time should be spent in meditation. That is most important. And the second thing is to just read out from some scriptures that we already have with us. You also already have some books on the subject written in English by me, too. And there are others as well. But these are purely concerned with these subjects. What things are retarding factors on the way? How the mind is led away by the outgoing faculties? How best the association, the company of others, affects us? Something like that. There is also the importance of attending the group meetings. That will give you a regular impetus to be on the way. Where more than one man sits in my name, Christ said, I am there. It works there by radiation. This is all I want of you who are here, each one of you. Those who are here now or even absent, never mind, should have group meetings regularly. And there is also something more to be mentioned. Suppose we get some medicine. We should not put it away on a shelf, but we should use it. Christ gave a parable of the talents. One man was given 20 talents, another 30, and a third only 5. After some time, the man who gave them the talents returned and inquired what had been done with them. The man who had 30 had made 60. The other who had 20 had made 40. He was pleased, and he gave them more. But the one who had had only 5 had just put them away someplace and had not used them at all. This is what is meant now. What you got at initiation is only for developing further. And if it is developed, you will gain much for your own benefit. You will progress and you will earn the pleasure of the Master for nothing. So, develop what you have been given from day to day by regular practice. In the old days, masters used to first prepare men for this higher truth, and then they gave it. But the times have changed. In the old days, people spent months and months together sitting at the feet of the Master, and only after that, when they were considered fit, were they given something to go on with. But the times have changed now. We are to prepare men and, at the same time, also give them something with which to proceed within. For that reason, self-introspection is very much needed. To help you, I have prescribed daily diaries of personal introspection. Maintain them. That will be a great helping factor. That will make you regular. If you have done, if you have not done anything, put in nil and send me the diary blank. I will accept it blank. But how will you dare to send me a blank one every month? I don't think you will. Naturally, you will see what you are doing, and morally you will feel that you are not doing right. You will begin to be regular. But the mind deceives you. It says, no, only when you have developed, send the diary in. Why worry now? If the mind allows you to develop, then you can send it in. That is the reason why I found that some initiates are at the same level they were when I was here 8 years ago. Some even lost ground, and others were even led away to other things. What is the reason why? Because what they got, they did not use. They were not convinced of the truth of their progress because they did not put in time for meditation. And they never cared about how they were living. They let loose all their senses. The result is that there is no progress. And if someone else says, there's a better way, they go there. For that I would request you, if you find anything better, please tell me. As I told you before, we are all after truth. And if there's anything more truthful, then, naturally, everyone would like it. And I would be the first man to have it. When you find any higher truth, if you go on regularly with it, you will progress from day to day. You will your own self testify that you are on the way. When you get something to start with, the very first day of initiation, what more do you want? It is a clear proof that there is a substantial something on the way, and you have been put on it. The grace of God has given you a man body, and it is with the grace of God that you have met somebody at whose pole he is working, and that God power has been able to give you some experience. And now, your own grace is required on your own self. If the grace of God is there, and even the grace of the God-man is there, and you don't have grace on your own self, then the two graces do not bear full fruit. So we should live up to what we are told. For that, maintenance of the self-introspection diaries is a necessity. If there is anything blocking your progress, submission of the diaries at regular intervals will help clear it up, because in that way you'll be guided where you err. Not that we meet after 8 years and you say something about it then. God knows whether we will meet again or not, physically. If you remain in touch through correspondence, you will be guided then and there. And you will also know where you stand. Why are you not progressing? Take one thing at a time and see what it is, not two, three, or four things at a time. A rolling stone gathers no moss. You know definitely, according to the teachings of the Masters, that you have been put on the way. You have had some experience of light and some experience of sound. That has to be developed. If you put in regular time with due regard to your self-introspection, there is no reason why you should not progress further. If not, there is something wrong. It might be that you have too many irons in the fire. Do one thing at a time, and you will progress. My wishes will be with you. Remain in contact, and I hope you will get further guidance also. The diaries are only to make you regular. They act in a very harmless way, without telling you any harsh words or anything like that. And that is to your own interest. This is the bread of life and the water of life. It is food to the spirit. This spiritual food gives you spiritual health. And on spiritual health depends the health of both the mind and the body. In my two talks here, I gave out the same subject, and also what is required to go further inside to contact the word power. On initiation, you also had some experience of it, and others who also attended the meditation period had some experience with the grace of God. This is something that will be here with you, here and hereafter. This is the most important part of the show. In Matthew 6:25, is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? We have done so much for the physical body and the intellect, but we must do something for our own spirit, too. For that, you have been given the bread of life and the water of life. The more you give it, the stronger you will be. The result of coming in contact with it is that you will be in the world, yet not affected by the world. In due course, you will come to know that it is the God power which is working in you, not you. You will become a conscious co-worker of the divine plan. you will see that it is the same truth, the same light and sound principle, reverberating within you and in all of creation. That will cause you to lose your ego. When your ego is gone, then what are you? You are to be physically and intellectually still, and you will know that you are God. The point is, God is light, and we are also light. But our light is enshrouded or enveloped by so many different coverings. We have now begun to know how we can shake off the iron curtain of the body. Every man who has the man body has the birthright to know God, I would say. And for that purpose, you have joined various religions. Blessed you are. But you have to take up that which is the basic teaching of all religions. All masters gave out that God is light, that God is sound principle, and that that is the way back to the wordless state of God. You have been given that, and the God power will help you. He is always all along with you. And my best wishes are with you. That's all I can say. But one thing again may I emphasize. Have appreciation for everybody's work. Don't depreciate others. Some people try to appreciate their own selves and depreciate others. Such and such is not doing right. I am doing right. The result is, how can hearts come together? Have appreciation. Whatever a man does, appreciate. That's all right. Go ahead. And moreover, an ounce of practice is worth more than tons of theories. Example is better than precept. If you don't live that way, what right have you to tell others to live that way? We say something ill of others. As I told you in the beginning, we must observe nonviolence in mind, word, and deed. Not to think evil of others, not to talk evil of others, and not to see the evil of others, I would say. Not to hear the evil of others. In that way, you will be saved from the poisonous effect conveyed to you through the mouths and ears and the eyes of others. That will safeguard you against or help you to avoid any detrimental effect to your spiritual way of living. Thoughts are even more potent than words, I would say. Even if you think evil of somebody, it will carry an effect. Akbar the great emperor of India, had a minister named Birbal. Birbal told him, "Whatever you think about anybody, he will think the same about you." Akbar the Great said, "How can that be proved?" Birbal said, "All right, we'll go outside for a while and you will see for your own self." They went out together. Akbar the Great was walking bareheaded. At a distance of about 200 to 300 yards, a man was coming down the road. The minister told the emperor, "Just think something about that man in your mind. When he comes here, ask him what he had thought of you when he had his first glimpse of you." Akbar the Great thought, "Well, all right, if he comes by, I will kill him. I will shoot him." When the man was passing by, the emperor said, "Stop, please." "Yes." "I excuse you, but if you don't mind, tell me exactly what struck your mind when you looked at me for the first time." "Well, emperor, forgive me. I would say I thought your head was very round. I wanted to break it with my fist." So, thoughts are more potent than other things. Never think that when you think evil about others, it does not affect you. It affects you and the other person too. There is a reaction there, and it cannot make you better. Always have appreciation. Always have love for others. If there is a shortcoming anywhere, try to reconcile it. Forgive and forget. That will safeguard you against any pinching effects of the poison conveyed to you through the mouth, ears, or eyes of others. Don't believe what others say. Don't believe what they say they have seen. Don't look through the eyes and the ears of others. This is the only thing that creates so many misconceptions, and it proves to be very detrimental to your own progress on the way. If anyone thinks evil of you, don't you think evil of him. Blood cannot be washed away by blood, but by the sweet waters of love. This we have to learn. And on the spiritual way, this is most important. Otherwise, you cannot progress. Further, know that whatever you are doing, it is by the grace of God. Thank God that He is taking that work from you. If one, two, three, or more men are working on the way, go shoulder to shoulder. Put your shoulders to the wheel. This is the spirit in which we have to work. And that will prove, I think, beneficial to your own self, to your own progress, and to others too. So that God power, or Christ power, or Guru power, by whose grace you have had some experience within you, is all along with you. It resides in the initiate from the time he is put on the way and never leaves him until he reaches the true home of the Father. That is why Christ said, I shall never leave thee nor forsake thee till the end of the world. So as I told you, first of all, show appreciation. Then it becomes an example. An example is better than precept. And further, control your thoughts. They play havoc by reaction. Just take the example of a pepper seed. You put it underground. That pepper seed derives all the bitterness from the ground around it. If you just put an apple or a mango seed under the ground, it will contract all the sweetness of the ground. One evil thought that is striking within you gathers all evil thoughts in the atmosphere. You become mad. Excuse me. But when a man is thinking something evil, he becomes very vehement. If you think good of others, you will naturally feel serenity and peace. This is, I think, the basic thing. If you go by it, God will help you, and you will progress from day to day. You will prove beneficial to your own self and to all those with whom you come in contact. And as I told you, even if anyone thinks evil of you, don't think evil of them. That will save you from reactions. Once, some man went to Lord Buddha and called him angry names. When it became night, and he saw it was all dark, the man turned to go. Then Lord Buddha said, Well, dear friend, wait a minute. Now, what have you to say? Said the man. Lord Buddha said, If anyone brings a present to someone, and he does not accept it, with whom will it remain? Naturally, the reply was, With the man who brought it. Lord Buddha said, Dear friend, what you have brought as a present for me, I don't accept. That can save you. That is the lesson given to me by my master. If anyone thinks evil, don't think evil of him. All sorts of people come to the satsang, some to appreciate and others to find fault. My master wrote me, if a bad man does not leave off his bad habits, should you leave off your good habits? We must improve. That is some of the reason why, when we are going on the way, our progress is slow and is sometimes even stopped. So, self-introspection in word, deed, and thought is most necessary. I have to go now. I wish you all. God bless you. Go on amicably, putting your shoulders to the wheel. And that ends Master's talk for today. Thank you, Master, for this opportunity to sit together in your holy name.
Thank you, David, for the wonderful reading. Today we had 86 people at the satsang. Thank you, everybody, for attending. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us. Now please hang up your phone.